Seven girls from Champaign's Franklin Middle School took a look at the history of desegregation in the community's public schools to reach a personal and a public understanding of the struggles for educational achievement. And they've produced this 60-minute radio documentary that, as we just heard, airs Saturday afternoon, May 15th at 5 p.m. and is repeated at 6 p.m. on Monday. You'll also find it on our website at will.uiuc.edu. Two of the producers join me in the studio to talk about the documentary. They are Veronica Martin and Tamika Lee. Also with us, two of the people who helped guide the girls in this project, Dr. Will Patterson of the University of Illinois and Kimberly Cronick. She's WILL's outreach coordinator. Good afternoon. Welcome all.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
First questions I have for Veronica and Tamika. One at a time. Veronica, what did you learn from the people you interviewed for the documentary?
I've learned that a lot of people had the same or similar incidents that happened to them, but they usually happened around the same time. I realized that it was happening in our neighborhoods or in their neighborhoods, and that it was just very, it's something that's unusual or not really heard of today.
Yeah. And Tamika, what did people tell you about how they coped with the situation as it was, how they lived with it? What did you learn from doing the documentary?
Well, they had to get by, you know, even through the hard times. And what I basically learned was, you know, not only the people like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X help with desegregation and integration, the normal people like us, they helped with it too.
It was a job for everybody. Had you talked to family members or family friends about desegregation, about the Brown case? Did you know anything about it before?
My mom told me about it before, and I think it was in sixth grade. I watched the movie on it, and that's how I learned.
Veronica?
I've asked my grandma about it, my mamita, which is like my great grandma. I've asked my mom about it. She really didn't have the effects done to her like my grandma did, but she still experienced racism and the hardships that some of the people that we interviewed did.
How many people did you talk to, and can you give us some idea of the people that you talked with?
We interviewed 12 people, and like Mr. Yarbert, he wanted to be a chiropractor, and he had helped his grandmother with asthma and how to help her with it and cope with it, but that he wasn't allowed the opportunity to actually get his bachelor's degree for it or actually become one. And so he had to open up a business and become an entrepreneur instead. And now he has a very wealthy or profitable company called Poor Boys. And it wasn't his original idea, but he still came on top.
Tamika, tell us about somebody that you interviewed.
Well, I interviewed Catherine Hogue, and she wanted a job as an operator. I had a telephone company down here, AT&T, I think, and she couldn't get the job, and she had to move all the way to Chicago with her 5 children. And then when she got to Chicago and got the job, she had to get transferred back and was still one of few blacks up in the telecom company.
How did you prepare for these interviews?
Well, first we all came together as a group, the 7 girls, and we thought about questions that we wanted to actually get the answers to, the things that was most important. And after we came up with those questions, we actually eliminated the things that we really didn't need or things that we could combine together and ask with one question. And so we just prepared on that. And as we sat down with the people during the interview, we came up with questions afterwards, follow-up questions that we thought would be helpful to after we get done breaking down the interview.
Tamika, had you and the girls, the other girls, done anything like this before?
Me, I haven't really. I don't know if any of the other girls have, but Not really. I've never really interviewed a person before or been in a radio station.
You know, I think if I had taken a part in a project like this in school when I was in middle school, I would have been very excited about it. But I also think I would have wondered, can I do this? How do I do it? Were you surprised you were able to do what you did? And you must be really proud of it.
Yeah, I was real surprised after I heard my first interview, and I was surprised when I went on TV and stuff. And as I see myself in the newspaper and on TV, and I hear about us on the radio and stuff, I have been real proud, and people around me tell me that they're proud of me, so that builds me.
Yeah, well, congratulations to you and
Thank you. And
your colleagues.
Thank you.
On this project. Dr. Patterson, Kimberly, how did this all come together?
Kim, you should probably tell a story.
Synergistically. Well, Will, who's been a friend of mine and for several years, came to us with ideas about sort of bridging some gaps in stories, local stories, and was really interested in the Douglas Park Community Center and the central role it played in local African Americans' lives and is playing again, and what happened in the intertwined years. And then, of course, the Brown anniversary is coming up, so there was an opportunity to write a grant, so we kind of rolled in some of his ideas with some opportunities here, and he brought us the Franklin connection, and we went from there.
Yeah, and kind of build on it and really taking the time to really engage an entire new generation of youth to the trials and tribulations of desegregation and in order to, again, as I talk consistently about the hip-hop generation, and those are children of the post-civil rights years, getting a better appreciation for the struggles of what it took to move the African-American community forward. And so oftentimes you'll hear folks of different generations talking about the young folks have no knowledge of past experiences, no appreciation of it. And so my belief is that, well, if you orientate them to their past by through media arts, that's a great way, since the hip-hop generations are media babies, to let them, again, take control of their own media content and then tell their own story utilizing media tools. And so,
yeah, that's an important part of this, too, isn't it, Kimberly, in terms of learning how technology works, getting your hands on the tools and using them. And that's got to be an exciting prospect for kids who are so media oriented.
Yeah, it was for me as an adult introducing the technology to the students, and maybe you two can comment about that. And what we did is we taught them, and then they taught the other students. That was always the goal, is to teach and then have others teach so that this learning can continue on. I don't know, Veronica, Tamika, what about the technology? What was it like to actually use it?
Well, first I was scared because it was like $2,000 worth of equipment. And so I was nervous. But after Ms. Kimberly and Dr. Patterson had went over it a couple of times, it was easy. But I was still nervous because I'm teaching my peers and I might mess up and give them the wrong information, and then they'll break it and then they'll blame it on us. And so it was like...
Here's another question I have. How did you girls keep on task? You know, you've got a deadline to meet, and, you know, when you get together with your friends, sometimes, you know, things get a little, you know, loose.
Well, that's something that have to do with responsibility. When we took on this project, we knew that we had a responsibility. So, you know, we had to take care of that responsibility.
Have you seen a change in the girls? Have you seen... what's it been like guiding the project and watching them at work?
We've watched them grow from... I don't want to say that they were necessarily disjointed initially, but I think that they all had their own ideas in terms of their own personalities, and so we had to find a common ground, and the common ground was the blight of, or the current plight of the Black community, and then their responsibility as young leaders and getting prepared for that responsibility and holding them accountable. And we've seen them grow, and I think all of them now are on honor roll students, and so we believe this program has a lot to do with them valuing education and through self-discovery. And because of that, we're making arguments that more projects like this have to exist between the university and the community.
Kimberly, what's the reception been in the building at Franklin?
Well, It's been great. I want to thank the teachers that worked most closely with the students, Shamim Raka and Kathleen Carroll. And only two of the seven were in Miss Carroll's class, so the other students weren't even in their classes. And the reception, I think, has been great. I know, girls, you talked about sharing some of this information. Tamika, maybe you want to tell about the club that you formed as a result of this project, if you can. I think that's a great story. Go ahead.
Well, we was coming from hearing
Melba Beals
talk from Little Rock Central High School, and I had an idea in my head riding in a car with Miss Raka, and the next day I went up to Miss Raka and asked her about the book club, and she was like, "That's a good idea," and she said that she stood by me all the way and that we can use her class. And she got Miss Powell and other administrators to help her with paying for the books for us. So I wanted to thank them all for that, too.
And you named the club?
The BBB Club, Books Before Boys.
Oh, that's great. The boys probably aren't far behind.
Right. No, they don't like that. They don't like the idea.
So have you started? What are you reading?
First we read Like Sisters on a Home Front, and now we're reading I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Oh, great book. Mm-hmm. What's the future for projects like this? Is this going to happen again?
It has to.
Yeah, Kimberly knows that I'll come knocking on the door. And in fact, we're hoping that we can do a similar project for boys who are struggling with self-identity issues and responsibility, and hopefully doing a video piece or some sort of documentary around that. But really trying to get this particular program and this one that we're mentioning aligned with the school and having it be part of curriculums. And so I think it's very important that schools buy into supporting this type of programming and that we're able to assess it and demonstrate that it creates formative outcomes that demonstrate that kids do perform and buy into the educational process, and it raises test scores and things of that nature.
Yeah. And I'm in the process of writing a grant to do this again next year, and the seven girls who graduated, those who will still be around, we're inviting them to come back and teach the new group of Franklin students so that you continue that teaching role, and also that these older girls will be role models for the younger ones, coming up in the project.
Yeah. One last question here. We've got to wrap it up really quickly. In terms of connecting young people with older people in the community, in terms of making community connections, has this project done that?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that what we've recognized, and when people listen to the radio documentary, you'll hear folks talking about what they've witnessed in terms of what they experience, and the girls are seeing how their own experiences are tying into folks before them's experience. So the connection has been made, and that was one of the bigger goals of the project. Mm-hmm. So we're real excited to see that outcome.
Well, I mean, we're connecting the girls to their elders,
right.
Franklin to WILL, Franklin to the elders to WILL in the community, and Will came and bridged that gap initially, and then all these other partnerships formed. And that's really how you can have a long-lasting impact. You really need community support, community partnerships for something like this.
Thank you very much, and congratulations to everybody once again.
Thank you so much.
Will, Kimberly, Veronica, Tamika, thank you so much.